step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello and welcome, you amazing humans. Welcome to another episode of Mysteries Were a History, where I'll take you on the wild ride into the unknown, the strange, and the mysterious. Like you, I have questions. Like you, I want answers. Not just about UFOs, but about all the mysteries that are on the fringe of everyday existence. I'm an explorer, just like you, looking for clues, trying to find commonalities between these bizarre phenomenon that have quite literally been plaguing humanity in one form or another since the beginning of recorded history, and in some cases, beyond. Tonight, something special, something different, as I will be joined by the Unidentified Celebrity Review co-host, Michael Mattaluni, who also runs an awesome tech science, UFO, and futurism channel called The Singularity Lab. Definitely go and subscribe to Michael's channel as he is pumping out awesome content. And also check out the UCR channel with Mike and Lou 5 days a week with awesome UFO-related panel discussions and fantastic guests. You can find all the links in the description box below. One big announcement, my Discord server is now open to everyone. It's buzzing with live UFO discussions and debates, as well as breaking news and a whole lot more. It's very easy to use, but if you have any trouble, as soon as you enter the server, there is a link to a video to show you how it works. So it's super easy and you're going to love it because there's some really exciting people that are on there, including Mike and many others. So tonight's topic is portals and wormholes. Now, probably the most well-known instance of a portal, even though it is science fiction, is one that is depicted in the movie and TV series of the same name, Stargate. How many of you have seen either the movie or the series Stargate? I loved them both. They're fantastic shows to watch. This depiction usually uses an ancient alien device to connect a portal on Earth with numerous other portals around the galaxy, allowing for near instantaneous travel regardless of the distance. But what about portals and wormholes in reality? Let's bring in my co-host, Michael Mattaluni, for more information on the science of the topic. Hi, Michael.
Christina, amazing. I'm so excited. I've been so amped about doing this with you for, I don't know, we've been talking about for months now. So I'm thrilled to finally be here with you.
It's been a while, but thank you so much for joining me here today on Mysteries with a History. And you know, we are now in 2021. So we have theoretical physics, cutting edge technology. How close are we to figuring out the dynamics behind creating a stable wormhole or portal? Based on your knowledge.
Yeah. So it's actually interesting because there's a lot of progress being made in this field. I started researching this a few weeks ago, specifically for a show we were doing about this very topic. And I was stunned to find out that we're actually making progress. These wormholes have been incredibly theoretical, you know, very much only based in mathematics and not really, we weren't showing any signs of potential breakthroughs when it came to developing wormhole technology, but that is changing. So maybe I could give a quick debrief on a black hole to get people's minds wrapped around what a wormhole is. Is that okay?
Please go for it.
Fantastic. So if you look at the center of the Milky Way galaxy, we can't directly see a black hole because light can't escape a black hole. But what we can do is infer their presence based on the gravitational pull that we see on the stars and around the center of the solar system, or excuse me, the galaxy. So for those of you who don't know, when you think about a black hole, you're really thinking about gravity, heavy mass collapsing in on itself. So maybe a dead star or some sort of implosion that happened at the center of the galaxy. And what happens is that mass just collapses in on itself due to the amount of gravity. And what we do not understand and what we really can't figure out about black holes is how to understand the math of this, because basically they collapse into infinity and it creates what's called a singularity where our math breaks down and our physics, our mathematics becomes entirely useless. We know they exist through both mathematics and inference, but we cannot for the life of us figure out how it's even possible.
It's crazy how black holes are even a thing. And Jack Ryan says, girl, take me to your leader. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Jack. yeah, so it's extraordinary that, you know, A, that these things exist. We know they exist, but we don't know how they work. We don't know how the mathematics is possible because when they break down, when they collapse in on themselves, it's theorized that when you enter a black hole, you'll come out another side in space, but we don't know that that's true. And then what happens in the middle of that black hole when mass becomes infinite? And none of these, this cannot be solved by our mathematics or any of the inference that we can understand through science. So it's a perplexing problem that has left physicists searching for answers. But a wormhole is something very similar to that. And Einstein also theorized about the existence of wormholes, but it was thought that maybe it was just elegant math and it didn't correlate with reality. But what we're finding now through different studies is that it actually is possible. We're making progress on that. The problem that we have now is that two problems with wormholes. One is that we can't figure out how to make them large enough to move any object through. So right now it's theoretically they're microscopic. And then in order to utilize a wormhole, like if you wanted to bend space and move through time and space without having to travel at faster than the speed of light, you'd also have to make that wormhole stable. And so we have two problems. One is stability of wormholes, and the other is size of wormholes. So we haven't cracked that yet, but the fact that we're even making progress on it and we're moving it out of the theoretical realm into the realm of the possible is extraordinary, because we used to think this was just a theoretical math, but we're actually starting to see that this could be a reality. The problem is it requires an extraordinary amount of exotic matter that we don't really know how to get or use.
Absolutely. And, you know, this kind of theory, right, with the Einstein-Rosen bridge has been going on for a little bit less than 100 years. So, yes, right. It's exciting that it's no longer pseudoscience, right, and it's becoming more into reality. But at the same time, it's a little bit disappointing that it's been 100 years and we haven't really seen any progress. At least that has been seen by the public. Quick thing I want to say is Creepy Little Book is here. Pete, thank you so much for being here. Guys, go check out his channel. He's pumping stuff out every single day, 365 days a year. Check out his channel. He has some really cool stuff. So when we look at not only wormholes, but even portals, which for many are believed to be the same thing or somewhat similar, from what we can understand by the First Nations and even across the globe, when you're trying to open a portal or even have be some part of a portal, there are alleged reports that these kinds of areas that have portals have a type of electromagnetic anomalies that are located near large deposits of quartz or other minerals with these kinds of properties, and as well as areas made mostly of granite. Have you heard of this when you've been looking into portals in the scientific aspect?
I haven't heard of it from a scientific perspective, no.
Well, what we do know about quartz is that it's very highly charged. And I find that kind of interesting when we look at certain parts of the world that are believed to have portals, which we're going to go a little bit more in depth to in a little bit. It's said, and again, this is all just speculation from my understanding, is that there are high levels of quartz or granite or any of these very special types of rocks. And I find that kind of fascinating, that if this is the case, if these entities are creating portals from energy that's created by the earth naturally, that's so much smarter than trying to create this intense technology using exotic matter to create a transportation device.
Yeah. And I almost wonder, you know, you think about this idea of exotic matter, and you think about, you know, what you're talking about with quartz, or maybe there's other natural electromagnetic science that we can use. But I always wonder about, you know, if we are seeing interdimensional beings move through portals, or even physical beings moving through portals to bend space-time, I always wonder what sort of technology needs to be developed to harness that, you know, energy or specific quartz in this matter.
Michael, you read my mind. I have the same questions all day, every day. Dan says, how positive is the scientific community that we cannot understand, solve wormholes, black holes with our mathematics?
How positive is the scientific community that we cannot understand, solve wormholes, black holes with mathematics? Well, I mean, you know, the problem always with mathematics is that it's purely theoretical, right? So oftentimes you can create a really elegant equation that unfortunately just doesn't describe reality. And the job of a scientist is to describe reality, not stare at a whiteboard and create pretty math, right? So we need to make sure
Never
we're balancing
pretty,
those two things.
It's never pretty. It just looks like gibberish to me, like confusion. Thank you so much, Dan, for the super chat. I guess it just depends who you ask, because when I see it, my brain hurts a little bit, and I'm like, I did not study this in college. I'll have Albert Einstein try to figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing about understanding wormholes and black holes with math is that again, the center of a black hole is basically so much mass collapsing in on itself that it's literally pulling an entire galaxy around in a spiral. And, you know, the fact that it is collapsed so hard that it literally creates infinity. And so math cannot explain that. It's like trying to divide zero by zero. You have no ability in math to explain a singularity. A singularity is literally the point at which mathematics breaks down.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry. Tim says, Jimmy Church says, move your show from his. And apparently, Jimmy Church is whining that he can't watch my show because it's at the same time as his. So that's why. I hope that answers your question, Tim. And I feel a little bad about that. But he's just got to be on the ball. There is, when it comes to portals, I definitely want to talk about one of my all-time favorite stories. And that is the ancient Anasazi in New Mexico. This is one of the most famous portal stories. This is a time where almost 1,000 years ago, a whole civilization just disappeared in thin air. Now, there are debunkers or even the rangers of these parks that say that they migrated over time from one location to another, but it doesn't really describe why they left all of their belongings inside of these buildings and this civilization. And
so awesome.
Oh, no, it doesn't at all, but it gets better. It gets better. When, as we know with First Nations and a lot of these ancient civilizations across the globe, they have pictographs or hieroglyphics, right, that are carved in the wall to describe or to try to tell their stories. And with this civilization in particular, they are depictions of spirals, which we know from across the globe from deserts of North America all the way to the cold locations of Siberia, we know that spirals indicate portals. We know this from everyone. So in these pictographs, the portals demonstrate giants and monsters entering while the humans are upside down, entering into the portals never to be seen again.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And I find that incredibly bizarre. Not only are we seeing portals, but we're also seeing these kinds of monstrous beings and giants. A big reason to why we know that they are giants is not only when they're compared to the humans, but also them having six toes and six fingers in all of their drawings, which I found that really interesting, along with these monsters that are depicted are a mixture of human and animal hybrids as well. I thought that was really, really cool. And Tom Horns, who wrote a book called The Paths of the Immortals, he talks about in his book where he interviewed a native shaman who tells the legend of the Anasazi and why he believed that they possibly disappeared instead of migrated. Thought that was like really awesome.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, but again, this is all alleged. You know, we don't actually know about what really happened, and it's not only like these spirals that we're seeing, because it doesn't definitely mean that it's portals, but it's believed that they are portals. Again, we don't know, but it's pretty exciting
year,
to see this.
What year was this?
What year was the...
Yeah, like what years were did the civilization exist before they disappeared?
Yeah, so about 1,000 years ago. So I think it was like 1200 AD, and that it was said to believe about a 2,000 year old civilization.
Wow.
Yeah. So I found like that's one of my all time favorite stories, because how can you describe to someone how a whole civilization just disappeared in thin air? Mm-hmm. And not bringing any of their belongings with them.
Yeah, that's truly bizarre. I almost wonder, like, if they had what sort of domestication they had. Because if they didn't have, you know, an alternate explanation could be if they didn't have any sort of pack animals or anything like that, maybe they had to leave without, and they just weren't able to take their stuff. But I do find it fascinating, the artwork and the portal artwork and their visions of giants and monsters is fascinating.
Yeah, so it makes you question, how are these ancient civilizations able to see portals and maybe possibly create them, when here in present day, we're still struggling to even understand what they are?
Absolutely.
Breaks my heart.
We're getting there, Christina. Don't worry.
We're getting there. And back from the intro that I mentioned, Stargate, one of the most famous TV shows and movie of all time when it comes to portals. And it seems like, and again, this is merely speculation, that maybe they are getting these kinds of stories from real life events, from historical accounts, or from actual Stargates across our globe that have been believed to be documented. Mm. One of these is Mount Shasta in Northern California. So the First Nations call this the Magical Mountain, and it's believed that it harbors a lot of supernatural creatures, including fairies, Bigfoot, werewolves, and a bunch others. So the locals and the natives also think that it has portals that lead to strange realms of the unexplained. And in 1884, an author by Frederick Oliver believed and wrote in one of his books that Mount Shasta had an underground base that harbored the Atlanteans. Now, I don't know where he got that information from, or how he was able to put the two and two together. But the fact that he even wrote about it in 1884, which wasn't really too long ago, and to where it's still believed of being a place of portals and supernatural, is something that I find really interesting. And with Mount Shasta, there have been seen of flying saucers coming in to the mountain. And that makes me question, is it a portal going from one place to another? Is it really an underground base? And if it is a portal, are they creating this energy themselves, or are they just harboring the natural Earth's energy to take them from one location to another, maybe from our planet to their planet?
Were there any, you mentioned quartz earlier, what are there any other specific elements that are in vast quantity in Mount Shasta, or anything that you ran across in your research?
Not that I know of. I believe that there is quartz, but I also mentioned earlier that granite's also very prevalent when it comes to portals. Now, when it came to Mount Shasta, it's not something that I necessarily kept my eye on, just because it's already such a famous mountain, being called the Magical Mountain, that it's not something that I looked into, and I definitely should have.
That's interesting.
Zofa says, thank you so much, by the way. He says, in the Book of Enoch, he mentions seeing portals blazing with fire. When he is abducted into the House of Crystal, the portals led to greater houses. Ooh. Well, these greater houses sounds like a different dimension altogether. And we've heard this also in ancient scriptures as well, when they say castles, houses. A lot of times, I at least perceive it as a different dimension altogether. But what do you think on that?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. In the Bible, you'll find it. You'll find things referred to as many rooms. So I think it's a similar metaphor that you'll find throughout, you know, historical texts and scriptures and all of it. It's fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. Even in some really famous poetry, especially one of them by Edgar Allan Poe, who also mentioned multiple rooms, and that could have also been depicted as different realms. Mm-hmm. With Mount Shasta, there are tons of stories, but one of the most recent ones was in 2011, where a six-year-old boy was playing in the woods with his family, and his parents were only a few meters away from him, and like he was still in eyesight, and he just disappeared in thin air. For 5 hours, he was completely gone, but then he just reappeared, and he had no idea that he had left. So it made me question.
So he was missing time as well?
He was missing time. He was gone, but he had no memory of him leaving at all. So it made me question, are there even possible time pockets? Does that make sense what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. when you enter into a portal and it's a time pocket where time just stops for you.
Right. Right.
Because there's a similar story in Romania in the Hoya Forest, where a girl, a very little girl, went missing for 5 years, and she reappeared with the same clothing. She was not dirty. She did not age, and she had no memory of her leaving. So this seems like something that's somewhat it's like a reoccurring theme of one right. young children. It's not adults. These are kids. Right. And when they're gone, they don't realize that they left.
Right. And it seems like the missing time is a consistent factor with these disappearances. They're not, they're not experiencing the same time loss that the adults who are losing them are experiencing.
No. And it's just such a weird phenomenon of missing time and portals and on all of this together. But do you know anything about the experiments at the Large Hadron Collider, CERN? You know, they're smashing highly charged clouds of gold atoms together and looking for proof of other dimensions as well as new particles. What do you know about that?
So very little really. I mean, I'm very familiar with exactly what you just said, but I know very little about the details.
A lot of it's conspiracy, you know. A lot of it that we hear is theoretical, but it's believed that when they're smashing these gold atoms that maybe they're trying to create some kind of black hole or even a portal. But what are they going to do with that? You know, we simply don't know. Could it be weaponized? Absolutely.
Well, I mean, my greatest fear has always been with that is an unintended consequences. My thought was, yeah, they probably are looking for exactly what they're saying they're looking for. But what are the potential unintended consequences of smashing these particles? Because they're looking for quarks. They're looking for, you know, they recently found muons and it goes deeper and deeper. You know, we've always been looking for, the smallest bit of matter that creates reality. And we thought we had it when we found the atom, and we were so wrong. So I don't know if they're looking for portals, but what I do know is, I have plenty of ethical concerns when it comes to any unintended consequences. Hopefully we haven't seen any of those. Maybe we have, maybe some of these stories speak to that.
Maybe. John says, could we get Dave Politis in a panel discussion with you? He knows a lot about missing people near magnetic stone and bodies of water. Imagine how the public would react Ooh. To knowing the truth about this. Thank you so much, John. You're always so kind to me. Now, what I do know about Dave Politis is that he does not give interviews aside from Coast to Coast. That's just like his rule. But if I could get him on the panel, absolutely. My heart would stop because I'm not going to lie. I'm a big fan of his. I really like his work. Have you read any of his books or seen any of his YouTube videos, Michael?
I haven't, no.
Oh, it's good. I recommend it for people that are big hikers or for those that like national parks or entering nature. Watching his stuff makes you very cautious when you go out. And he writes the books Missing 411 and also has documentaries called Missing 411, The Hunted, and things of that nature. Such great stuff. JD says, have you seen the status outside of CERN?
Statues? You tell me statues?
Statues, yeah.
There's a Lord Shiva. There's an Indian deity, Lord Shiva, outside of CERN, which is an interesting choice. It was actually a gift from India, celebrating CERN's long association with India, which started in the 1960s.
That's what Grandmaster UV said too. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah. Statues of Shiva. Yeah, I didn't know about that, but that's something that's really interesting, especially given to them by India. Dave Politis and the Missing 411, I'm going to put the links in the description box below for everyone else to watch and read. Great stuff.
Lord Shiva represents and symbolizes Shakti or life force, which makes a lot of sense. Because they're literally playing with life forces. They're playing with energy.
Creation and destruction.
Exactly. Shiva.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And a little spooky too. I'm not gonna lie.
I love it.
Yeah, there we go. JD says she's known as the destroyer.
There you go.
There you go. Everything's
smashing
symbolic.
Baby.
Everything symbolic. Oh, John says everyone should watch his documentaries, The Missing 411 and Vanished. 100% recommend. Absolutely recommend. Another story that I found really interesting was in Peru. And this is another kind of Stargate story that could have definitely inspired the TV show. And this is a legend, and it happened when Spanish conquistadors came to Peru to loot the Inca's gold. And a priest named by Amaru Mero used Hayumarca as a portal to escape. Mero allegedly placed a golden disc known as the Key of the Gods of the Seven Rays into a socket in the center of Hayumarca's carved door, opening a portal and allowing him to walk through the stone, never to return again. Ooh. Could you imagine just walking through anything solid?
I've dreamed about it my whole life. Honestly, I've sat around and literally tried to move things with my mind. You know, these are things that I've always been fascinated by ever since I was a kid. I was reading about ancient aliens, pyramids, Loch Ness Monster, and I've always been fascinated with the potential for consciousness to have an impact on physical matter. So this is, this subject is near and dear to my heart.
I can just imagine you as a kid, like squinting your eyes and like really trying to move something with your mind. You're like, go, go, go.
I'm like, you can do it. And then I'm like, okay, if I stop believing that I'm separate from the object, I'm one with the object, then it'll happen. And unfortunately, I haven't been able to do that yet, but I've not given up hope, Christina.
I've had the same mentality after I watched the movie Matilda, which is a children's movie for this girl that can move stuff with her mind and take revenge on her parents and the principal. I was like, I can do that. I can move dolls and steal candy. Not a problem. And then my dreams were quickly crushed.
It's unfortunate. Anna says Mike was a hippie-ish. No, I absolutely was a hippie. I literally had dreadlocks, hiked the Appalachian Trail, hitchhiked across the country, 100% hippie. I actually lived at a yoga ashram for 2 months in Buckingham, Virginia. So full on hippie.
There you go. You gotta do it one time in your life. Zofa says, portals through 3D space require a fourth special dimension. Do you think we'd survive the trip, or would our guts fall out of a hole in us from lacking 4D? Thank you so much, Zofa. And that's a really interesting question that I was definitely going to go into when we look at other entities that can enter portals. How do they know what the environment is like on the other side? How do they know that they're going to survive?
Don't. Absolutely do not. And that's the thing. That's the weird thing about the black holes as we understand them. We don't know. We postulate, we theorize that they end up on another side of, of space-time. But we just don't know. And the fact that literally the mass of these black holes crushes into a state of infinity renders our ability to theorize completely meaningless. It's very frustrating.
It is. It is. And it just makes you question, if you were to find a portal right here, right now, if one was just open, would you walk through it? And if you did, do you think you would survive it?
Well, I will say this. If I wasn't married with children, I absolutely would walk through it. Would I survive it? If it manifests itself, I have a feeling there's a consciousness relationship between that portal and my life. So I would have to walk through in faith that there's a purpose and a reason behind it.
Absolutely. It's like the saying goes, nothing's a coincidence. Everything is as it should be. Mm-hmm. But what do you think about the alleged portals at Skinwalker Ranch?
I find it fascinating. I really do. I mean, our reality is, we live in this world of cause and effect, right? Every single thing that we do is based in Newtonian physics, right? What goes up must come down. When I drop this pen, I know it's going to fall, right? But what's behind those forces and what exists at a quantum level, continues to mystify even the most, even the most studied physicists. So the fact that they see things happening at a subatomic level that make no sense and have no correlation to the Newtonian physics of our everyday lives makes me so hyper, critical of anyone who can dismiss an idea like this. So do I absolutely believe portals exist and UFOs are zooming in and out and Sasquatch zooming in and out? No. Do I believe that it's absolutely not possible? No. I'm not that arrogant in either direction.
Gotta take the middle path.
Gotta take the middle path. And I know it. Sometimes it feels like a cop out because you're like, "Oh, you're just agnostic about it." You should take a stand. It's like, well, why? Why can't we have open minds? But also think critically. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's important to have both. I think it's important to have a very open but skeptical mind, especially when we don't know. We don't know, and our brightest minds, our brightest human minds on the planet, don't know either. So. That's where I stand on that.
Like Ryan Sprague says, you got to be an open-minded skeptic. You got to
exactly.
go.
Exactly. Or as JD says, open-minded, but not so open that your brains fall out. Exactly.
do you think that's what's happening? That what's happening in there in Skinwalker Ranch and throughout is intelligently controlled or some kind of side effect of the land and electrically conductive soil. I mean, which side do you lean on?
I believe that the universe is inherently conscious. And I believe that energy and consciousness are inherently related. And so, what does that mean for the specifics of what's going on or what I believe is going on at Skinwalker Ranch? I can't really say with certainty, but I definitely think whatever's happening is conscious at some level. So I lean on the intentional side versus just weird side effects of Newtonian physics. That doesn't make any sense to me. I think it's all things that are happening, everything is built and driven by an intelligent force that permeates all of reality. That's what I believe.
So then my next question would be, as we had mentioned earlier, when it comes to trying to open portals or wormholes, you need exotic matter. But right. When we look at what we're seeing right now with Skinwalker Ranch and with other entities, and you said that possibly it could be through consciousness, then do you think that our consciousness is more powerful than exotic matter to open up these portals?
Or maybe consciousness can have an effect on exotic matter, right? Or maybe these are beings that have mastered exotic matter and have the ability to move through, and maybe, again, it's so difficult because we live in this three-dimensional reality You know, you look at the you look at string theory, one of the most developed scientific theories about mathematical theories about reality, and they're talking, you know, 11, 12 dimensions. So to be able to quantify what we see on three dimensions without having seen the other, you know, 7, 8, 9 dimensions, you just don't have the ability to, you know, to put it all together. So I think there's so much going on that we can't see that it's very difficult for us to even wrap our minds around it. But again, I err on the side of intelligence, you know, operating. What it means. You got me.
There's no such thing as coincidences.
I would agree with that. I've experienced an extraordinary amount of meaningful coincidences in my life. And it would be incredibly hypocritical of me to not acknowledge that, because it just seems like it happens over and over and over. Now, I do believe it's related to intention. I do believe that, you know, you have to be open to seeing the coincidences, but are they operating without our belief in them? I think so.
Ooh, I like how you pointed that out, Michael. Mav says, are there any other constantly reported phenomenon factors that humans have reported about portals on Earth besides missing time, children, and or granite quartz? Consistently. Sorry, I think I mentioned that wrong. Thanks, Mav. I don't think I put my glasses on. I have to like zoom in and then...
That's an interesting question. I don't know.
Are there any consistently reported phenomenon factors that humans have reported portals? The person to ask would be Dave Politis. He would be the man to ask on that, because he hits a lot of points that don't have to do with children, quartz, or granite, but instead have to do with a lot of these disappearances or things that do with portals are also connected with water as well. So hopefully that kind of answers your question. But if you go to Can-Am Messing Projects on YouTube, check out his channel and maybe you'll find some really good answers there. Do you, Mike, this one's for you.
Yes.
What do you think about quantum entanglement altogether? Or as Einstein called it, the spooky action at a distance. You know, you have two particles being connected so that whatever the distance between them, you affect one and the other reacts instantly at the same time, even if it is on the other side of the universe. So do you think that might prove that wormholes are naturally occurring at the subatomic or quantum level?
I'm not sure that, you know, and again, I'm not a mathematician or a physicist, but I do ponder these questions all the time. And I'm very familiar with quantum entanglement and spooky action at a distance, of which Einstein theorized but didn't believe, right? His mathematics pointed to it and he said, nope, there's something about my math that's wrong. There's something I don't understand here. And maybe that's true. Maybe there's, you know, if we're operating on more than the dimensions we see, and there are interactions that we don't have, that we're not privy to, things can happen that are beyond our belief, right? So, you know, is there a connection between, you know, this quantum entanglement that we're seeing on the three-dimensional realm, but it's actually all connected on another dimension, right? And so we just can't perceive it. So yeah, I mean, does it relate to, wormholes specifically? Maybe, but to me, it definitely speaks to this idea that all energy is in communication with all energy at all times. There's nothing within the known universe that is disconnected from any other point in the known universe. It's all connected. You know, there's a lot of philosophers who talk about trying to remember the name. It's not unified field theory, but basically that's the idea, is that everything is connected and there's no amount of space that can keep information from moving from any particular point to any other point instantaneously. So it's the fact that quantum entanglement exists and we've proven it, and Einstein was actually wrong. To me, that's just incredible. And it really speaks to this idea of a unified field theory, or, you know, the idea that everything truly is connected.
Talking about connections, have you heard of ley lines?
I have heard of ley lines. Yes. I don't know a ton about them, but I, from what I understand, they are energetic, points, geographic points that are connected energetically. Is that, am I on the right track here?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm bringing that up because you did say that all of these things are connected in one way or another. And if we look at certain locations such as Stonehenge and the pyramids of Giza, it is believed that they are connected or share the same line or energetic path. So a amateur archaeologist in the 1920s by the name of Alfred Watkins discovered that there are certain sacred monuments such as Stonehenge and the pyramids of Giza that share these energetic lines. So it's kind of like latitude and longitude, except it's not actually mapped on what we see every single day on our maps, right? So this is still very modern ideology on what this is, but it's believed that these ley lines hold some kind of power, either quartz or some kind of electromagnetic field. And that's why that these ancient beings, either human or other, built these monuments or statues on these ley lines to maybe charge up these locations, right? Because we believe that, or there are some conspiracies that Stonehenge is actually a giant portal that broke, right? And that the pyramids of Giza is not actually a tomb that held a few of the pharaohs, but instead is a charging port for flying saucers or UFOs. So I found that kind of interesting that these two specific monuments both follow the exact same line, also known as ley lines.
Yeah, I find that fascinating. I've always when I went to college, I was a psychology major, philosophy minor, and then I got really into sort of these fringe theories because I had a philosophy professor who was really influential on my thinking at the time. And so I just started studying all of these ideas of the Great Pyramid being energy centers and what lost knowledge or technology did we have? And that's the thing that is so mind-boggling to me. And I think it's very easy just to dismiss these things as pure fantasy and pure fringe, because we don't have proof, right? We don't have the ability to go back and reconstruct these sorts of ideas or theories. But to just blatantly or outwardly dismiss them, I think, is a mistake. So, for me, I find these theories fascinating, and I'm always looking for, I'm always digging more deeply into it. So, yeah, I find it fascinating.
I do too. I mean, even when we look at conspiracy theories, or like you said, even just regular theories, if they are wrong or correct, it's the fact that it piques your curiosity. It weaponizes your curiosity where it just makes you think outside of the box from the conventional things that you learn in history class back in school. And I love that. I love that so much.
I love
so
that
much.
Too. And I think that it's a mistake to avoid the fringe. I really do. And I think it's so important to be always thinking outside of the box, and whether right or wrong, even if it's just stretching your mental capacity, I find it's like exercise, right? If the more you stay inside the box, the more you just get lazy. You just become a lazy thinker. And I think it's important to kind of stretch your mind. And now it's also lazy to come up with a theory and just assume you're right. That's also super lazy. Don't do that either. But finding that balance and being able to stretch your mind and push past the possibilities, you know, people used to think that, you know, if we built high velocity rail trains, that they would asphyxiate us and we couldn't even ride on a rail train because it would literally suffocate us. People believe that we would never discover air flight. And we've done that. And, you know, there are so many things that people did not believe we could do. You know, Thomas Edison failed 100 times at making a light bulb until he made a light bulb. The candle makers weren't trying to make a light bulb. It was these fringe theorists working like mad scientists in their basement who were able to do that. And so I always find it so frustrating when, you know, mainstream academics, you know, come down on fringe theorists and mad scientists, because those are the very people who change the very reality of our society. So I always think it's important to stretch beyond, you know, that mainstream thinking and push yourself into something that maybe feels uncomfortable.
In every possible way, you always got to step out of the box, out of your comfort zone, to even just do a little bit of research a day, maybe 5 minutes a day on something that you think is bizarre or strange or unexplainable. Just those little bits and pieces really make a difference, not only in your consciousness, like your curiosity, but in your everyday life. It makes you look at things differently. It makes you spend your free time differently versus looking at awesome cat videos. You might look at what Michio Kaku is talking about instead, and really kind of letting that blood boil in a very exciting way versus like sitting on a couch laughing at cats. I love cats, but we shouldn't.
I mean, we should carve out a small amount of time to laugh at cats.
I agree. Gregory says, what is the Einstein-Rosen bridge? And that's a good question. So if you click on the show more below in the video window, I wrote details about the Einstein-Rosen bridge there for your reference already. So take a look at that. And for those that haven't read the description for this video, I recommend that you read it. It'll really help you understand exactly what we're talking about here today.
Yeah. And it's basically, I mean, it's just a wormhole. It's a theoretical, the Einstein-Rosen bridge is what Einstein and Rosen theorized as a wormhole. Your the ability to bend space time and move through it. And they based that off of black holes, theoretical black holes.
Oh, it's so awesome how they did it. Like it blows my mind how in that time period in the early 1900s, they could have those kinds of conversations. And at least amongst themselves, they were taken seriously. But here we are 100 years later, and it seems like we have not made a bunch of progress.
Little progress, Christina. A little bit.
But I don't have another 100 years under my belt, Michael.
Christina, we've gone from thinking these are theoretically improbable to possible, right? In a very short time. And I suspect that, how old are you again?
22.
I suspect that by time you're my age, they'll have advanced anti-aging to a point where you might be living to 150. So let's you might have time to see a wormhole.
I don't think I want to live that long, Michael. If I need to eat a really healthy diet to live that long, I'll pass. Because ramen noodles and ice cream is like, I eat it on the daily. It's disappointing, actually.
That's quite fair. I agree with you, actually, to be honest.
I can't live that long. But when I was combing through, you know, tons and tons of stories about portals, about the fringe and the supernatural, especially for today, I came across quite a few stories that talked about people entering into a portal and going into a different reality altogether. Either they encountered someone who died in their reality but was alive in the one that they entered, or that there were buildings that weren't there before when they were driving the same route every single day. And they also couldn't come back to their original reality. So that made my mind go in a different direction. And I'm thinking, could that possibly be the Mandela effect? Instead of portals altogether, instead of wormholes, what if they're jumping from one reality to another? Or maybe they're just realizing two dimensions fading and merging into one.
That's fascinating.
Where's the fine line?
Right. It reminds me of when I first learned about quantum physics and this idea that all of reality exists in a state of a superposition, meaning anything is possible once that waveform collapses. Once you look at an object, this is the moment that the wave function collapses, and now you're literally physically manifesting reality. Now, we don't think that's exactly how it works, right? But that's what we understand. And this is a huge problem in physics, and we don't understand it. But there are theories that maybe reality exists outside of ourselves in a linear form to our perception. But simultaneously, every time we take an action, we deviate into a different reality. And there are multiple realities being created of identical selves moving through, making different decisions and creating all of these different reality streams that are actually side by side, or strings. And
yeah, so kind of like timeline jumping.
Exactly. So maybe what you're talking about is a glitch in the a glitch in the matrix, where your conscious perception is actually coming from a different timeline or different reality. And we don't know, we have no way of proving or quantifying that at this point. But it is a fascinating concept. And, it's weird because it's sort of a physicist's, philosophy, it's like an exercise, like a kind of an exercise, but at the same time, they can't disprove the fact that it's a potential reality. So, listen to the smart guys. They don't know either.
I mean, this kind of conversation just leads to so many more questions than I have answers. Mm. And there are so many different facets to this topic and all things that are related to Fringe altogether. But when we look at portals and wormholes, we're looking at so many different facets. We're looking at ancient history, present history. We're looking at the Mandela effect. We're looking at what Einstein said with the Einstein-Rosen bridge, all of these things. And it just makes me question, like, what do I do? How do I get the answers? I want the answers so bad.
I know. I don't think there's any direct route. I think mystery is when do a thought experiment with me for a moment, Christina. Imagine that you are all of reality. Let's call it God or whatever. You're everything that ever will be, but you're lonely, right? And so there's no mystery. You know everything. You are everything. There's nothing to discover. There's nothing to search for. Now imagine you take that self and you divide it up into a bunch of little pieces, and all those little pieces you get to experience as yourself. And now you have all these little friends because you created them, and you're in connection with them, and you're experiencing them as different parts of yourself. And now there's mystery, and now there's awe because you don't know everything. That's what I like to think about as reality. This idea that we're all little pieces of a cosmic creator or cosmic energy or cosmic intelligence. And we're all just little pieces of that, looking through the lens of this mortal life. And it's the very fact that we have mystery and awe and we don't have all the answers that makes life worth living.
Wow.
That's how I like to think about it.
And that's a good way to think about it. It definitely adds value to your life. Because if you knew everything, yeah, of course you would be bored, especially
bored
in this
tears.
Realm.
Yeah. Could you imagine? Bored to tears if you knew it all.
That's why we don't know it all. And here we are having these kinds of conversations, crying to know the answers. So either way, you're going to cry. If you know it all, if you don't know it all, you're going to end up in tears, Michael.
I know. Okay. I do know. It's all about the dolphins. All about the dolphins, Christina.
Gosh, you scared me. I had Jazz on last Friday, and he did mention dolphins, and I was like, I knew it. He was going to bring it up at least just once.
Absolutely.
Just for a second.
Absolutely.
There is one more story that I want to cover that I found really interesting, and it does bring in the concept of reincarnation when it comes to portals. So, because again, you have all these different facets when it comes to this. So, in Abydos, Egypt, there are hieroglyphics that depict helicopters, war tanks, and even flying saucers. Okay. This was carved hundreds, if not thousands of years ago. How could they possibly have helicopters, war tanks, and flying saucers at this time? And there are even certain entities, gods, that are wearing modern day watches. Okay. That's really weird. The watches were not a thing back then, not until pretty darn recently.
Yeah, a sundial doesn't work on your wrist.
No, I did think about that once. It doesn't work.
But, I think I saw it on the Flintstones. I was like, wait a second.
Hold on. What? And a dinosaur for a pet? What? But there was a woman by the name of Dorothy Eadby from London in the early 1900s. And she said that she was an incarnation of Pharaoh Seti, who ruled over the land of Abydos during 1290 BCE. Okay, that's a really, really long time. And Seti was the son of Ramses the First. So that's really interesting so far. So we know this woman from the early 1900s in London says that she was an incarnation of a pharaoh named Seti. Okay, so let's keep going with this. So she spoke to a ton of researchers and she could read the Egyptian hieroglyphs detailing where researchers could find certain artifacts that were dug up with pure accuracy. And she later went by the name Om Seti to connect herself with her last incarnation. Here's where it gets interesting. She knew, based off from her last incarnation, that there were portals throughout Pharaoh Seti's kingdom that went to other dimensions and realms. But when she did try to visit Egypt from London, because she knew exactly where these stargates were, she claimed that they were either closed off, sealed, or no longer working. She said that there were proof of portals and stargates that can take beings from one location to another. Now, there were already stories saying that maybe someone tipped her off to know where these locations, how to read hieroglyphics, how to find these artifacts, and a little bit about these stargate or portals. But it didn't really describe how she was able to have memories of her previous incarnation. And that's what I thought was kind of exciting, was that if this was true, if she really was this incarnation of a pharaoh, and if that pharaoh really did have stargates, that's exciting information. Even though it was ancient times, which has been depicted throughout history across the globe, the fact that she can go back to that, I feel like that can be some kind of proof. Right? Having memories, if it was really true. And that made me question. She said that they were all sealed off, closed, or no longer working. So my mind went straight to, well, how do these portals charge? What do they need to charge? And where do they get their energy from? How do they get sealed off? I had all these kinds of questions.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
I'm right there with you.
It's fascinating. No, I mean, I've read a lot of books about reincarnation as well, and that's always something fascinating, especially when you find these kids who have these extraordinarily vivid memories of past lives. And I find it fascinating. And again, it's one of these things where I absolutely cannot say what happens after death or whether or not reincarnation exists, but I do not put it out of the fold. I believe it's absolutely possible, especially when we know what we know about the bizarre nature of quantum reality and how all these things are connected. It fascinates me. I love it.
Oh, it is. It is. And let me tell you, this hour flew
by. Oh my God.
It flew by, right?
Wow.
I mean, what a fascinating
time is relative, Christina.
There you go. And of course, all of this is still developing science. It's been studied by mathematicians and physicists. And I think ultimately any advanced type 2 or type 3 civilization would develop such technology for travel between the stars, which one day we will get our hands on. Or, you know, even travel between galaxies. I mean, just would this could all be done via wormholes rather than warp fields that mm-hmm. us humans are still trying to figure out. So I really want to thank you, Michael, for joining me. Please go ahead and tell everyone where they can find you across social media.
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter at Singularity Mike. You can also follow me on YouTube. All you got to do is type in the Singularity Lab and you'll find us over there. We've got some awesome interviews, panel discussions, and then you can also find me at the Unidentified Celebrity Review Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So we actually go live 5 days a week, Tuesday and Thursday at the Singularity Lab, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at the Unidentified Celebrity Review. My show more focuses on breaking science, breaking technology, the technological singularity. We also hit on UAP, UFO topics. And then Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we're at Unidentified Celebrity View, where we are talking UFOs, UAPs. We have a good time. We have a good time with it, Christina. And thank you so much, by the way, for inviting me to this show. I'm so thrilled I had an opportunity to hang with you and do this. So I really appreciate you and what you're doing.
Oh, no, thank you so much. And for everyone that's watching, all of his links or his link trees in the description box below. Go subscribe to his channel, click the bell, watch his content, click a like because he has some really awesome stuff. And honestly, one of the best hosts I've ever met. He's so good at driving everything. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. So I really want to thank everyone for joining me here today. Everyone in the live chat, everyone that's watching. Thank you. And as always, to my wonderful Patreon supporters, everyone who gave super chats, this is not possible without your kind support with sticking with me on this journey. Join me on Friday for Shifting the Paradigm at 7 p.m. PST, where I will be interviewing writer and Debrief co-founder Micah Hanks. Ooh, yeah, I'm excited for it.
I love Micah. Yeah, he's amazing.
His voice is like could read all the books.
Oh my God, he's incredible.
He is.
And he's just great.
And lastly, for everyone, remember to keep your eyes on the skies.